This is Ian Pickus for WAMC News, and joining us now to react to the news of the retirement of Anthony Kennedy from the U.S. Supreme Court is Brad Hayes from Union College. Brad, what's your reaction to today's announcement?
Well, it's, to put it mildly, very big news. There had been rumors that had kind of been picking up speed that Kennedy was increasingly thinking about this, and apparently there was a bit of a lobbying effort on behalf of the Trump administration and some conservative allies that now was kind of the time for Kennedy to retire if he wanted to, in some ways, protect some of his conservative legacy, particularly given some of the forecasts for the elections in the fall. So apparently those efforts were successful, and obviously it's a huge deal for Trump, given that between this seat and Gorsuch, he's going to be able to push the court considerably rightward, and with a fairly young conservative coalition, so that we could be looking at a conservative majority for a couple decades. That is a reality.
Before we talk about what comes next politically, let's talk about Anthony Kennedy's legacy. What do you see his legacy as being?
Yeah, it's a good question. I'm not entirely sure. I think we're a little bit close in time to know what his legacy is. People will look back in time and look at his record on LGBT rights, particularly on same-sex marriage, that critical vote that he provided that really helped kind of push forward that agenda on the U.S. Supreme Court. But outside of some of those social issues where he had a bit of a libertarian streak, he was reliably conservative on most issues. So while we often will talk about Kennedy as kind of the swing vote on the contemporary court, this is a very conservative court, and he was a conservative justice on that court. So I'm not exactly sure, you know, what will emerge out of, you know, considerations of his legacy, but other than being one of the members of a deeply conservative court.
Now let's talk about the future fight over whomever President Trump decides to nominate for the position. Democrats remain steamed, to put it mildly, about the Merrick Garland seat. Of course, never made it, never got a vote, and we ended up with Neil Gorsuch on the court. Do Democrats have a gambit that could possibly get even for that in their arsenal at this point?
No, they really botched it when they tried to oppose Gorsuch, and they effectively undercut the ability to filibuster this nomination. In other words, they attempted to do that, so they invoked kind of that nuclear response, and as a consequence, the filibuster isn't going to be there for them. And there's one thing that conservatives, if in terms of their reaction to Gorsuch, are unified on, is that Trump made a good selection in Gorsuch for his first Supreme Court pick. So I think it's really, really unlikely that the Democrats are going to be able to do almost anything to stop this. And, you know, the Republicans, even moderate Republicans, I think, you know, are unlikely to be swayed against a reliably conservative jurist unless there is some major skeleton in the closet. I think that they'll move very quickly on this. I mean, one of the hallmarks of the early Trump administration in partnership with the Senate has been pushing judicial nominees through very fast. They have worked extraordinarily fast, and they very much marginalized Democrats in that process. In fact, there was just a story earlier this month where they ignored a part of a blue slip process from Bob Casey in Pennsylvania. And what that essentially means is that they simply are willing to abandon kind of old norms in order to push through their candidates. And what that suggests is that they're going to move very, very quickly on this. And I think they're, of course, going to want to push it through so that it's not lingering anytime close to the election. But certainly they're going to want to leave enough space that if, in fact, anything happened to the first nominee, there'd be time to still push through a second. So, in other words, this is probably going to happen very quickly, and I don't see much hope of any kind of Democratic opposition to any candidate other than one that would be marred by, you know, one of those skeletons in a closet.
Based on what we know about President Trump's list back during the campaign of potential Supreme Court nominees, What do you expect the next nominee will look like?
Youngish, probably, you know, very very similar to Gorsuch, in their 50s at the latest. Obviously, a well established conservative track record. I would be surprised if they weren't white, given that list and how white the makeup of that list was. And that list was predominantly male. So we might see more of the same in terms of the next nomination. You know, we'll see how things play out over the coming days and weeks. But you're certainly going to see somebody that has the conservative bona fides and who is relatively young. You know, it probably is not going to add a lot in terms of the diversity of the court.
All right. I want to ask you about the balance. Now, the more liberal-leaning justices are now down to even fewer. Ruth Bader Ginsburg is, I believe, 84 years old. Looking ahead, you know, the next couple of years, what are some major issues that may be decided by the court in a different way than they perhaps would have been had Kennedy stayed?
That requires an awful lot of speculation, so I'm not sure that I can really answer that about how it would have been decided with Kennedy versus how it wouldn't be. As I mentioned, Kennedy was fairly conservative on most issues, and on this past term even, where we saw an LGBTQ case come before that in the Baker case about making cakes and about whether, in fact, you could discriminate based on kind of a religious belief against same-sex marriage. That essentially didn't swing in a more leftward direction the way some people were hoping it would, given the presence of Kennedy. So, and given how many dramatically conservative cases we've seen just released in the last 2 weeks, I think it's hard to say that we're going to see big shifts. But it's important to note that justices tend to reflect the selecting president in subtle ways. So it's not enough to just paint with a real broad brush and say, well, this person's conservative, this person's liberal, and therefore they'll vote. But there's nuance within what constitutes someone's conservatism and what constitutes somebody's liberalism. And so you're likely to see something that reflects more of Trump's priorities within that decision-making. But in terms of specific cases, I really couldn't say.
So I take it you were not surprised by the Janus decision earlier in the day?
I wasn't surprised, no. I mean, there's been a good deal of hostility to unions on the court for quite some time, and many people had kind of predicted this. I think, just the kind of totality of the cases that we've seen in the last month, though, has been somewhat surprising. It's been kind of a big victory for the right after big victory. And I think that's something that, is very much has excited the right and will keep them very much excited, through the nomination and confirmation process.
Let me ask you just one more political question here. In the campaign, President Trump made no secret of the fact that Republicans and conservatives would, despite their misgivings about him, have to eventually vote for him because of the balance of the Supreme Court. It's important to them, and he was going to be the vehicle for, making appointments there. Was he right?
He's right. I mean, in the sense that, that's not unique to him, but it's unique to our politics right now, right? That one of the things that has kept the Republican coalition together is their ability to kind of outsource cross-cutting issues onto the court over the last several decades. So, in other words, they've judicialized some of the issues that divide their coalition, particularly on social issues. Trump basically, I think, is right in pointing out that the conservatives are going to have to vote for him. And given that there was, of course, an open seat at the time, that really, kind of raised the stakes significantly. And obviously, going into the midterm elections, if in fact they're able to confirm the next justice, that will give them yet another talking point about why, in fact, they continue to need a conservative majority, and that issue has animated the base pretty reliably. So in that sense, this is something that, I mean, I think it's pretty much a win-win for Republicans.
Brad Hayes, Associate Professor of Political Science at Union College in Schenectady, who is an expert on political institutions in the U.S., including the Supreme Court. Brad, thanks as always for your time.
It's my pleasure.